In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about one of the most asked questions, which is in some ways very difficult to answer and in some ways really very simple. People ask, how do I learn to die to myself? How do I learn to die to myself? That expression, dying to self, is rather common in Paul's epistles. And Jesus spoke to his disciples, not just to the disciples, he spoke to the crowds, and he said, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself. Another translation says, give up your right to yourself, or say no to yourself. And in today's climate, that is a very difficult concept to get across, isn't it? It's never going to be very popular. I don't think it ever was. It's pretty clear that not too many people wanted to follow Jesus fulfilling all the conditions. If it was merely a matter of tagging along behind and getting the loaves and fishes when loaves and fishes were being given out, well, that was fine. But when push comes to shove, then denying oneself is a painful business, and it'll never be anything else. Somebody gave me a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13, in which Paul speaks of the best way of all. He's been speaking in 1 Corinthians 12 about the various gifts, spiritual gifts, and the last verse in chapter 12 says, "And now I will show you the best way of all." And chapter 13 begins with these words, "I may speak in tongues of men or of angels, but if I am without love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I may have the gift of prophecy and know every hidden truth. I may have faith strong enough to move mountains, but if I have no love, I am nothing. I may dole out all I possess or even give my body to be burned. But if I have no love, I'm none the better." Now let me read you this paraphrase, which was apparently found in the billfold of a 30-year veteran missionary. With her husband, she was on her way to another tour of duty in Khartoum, Sudan. No one seems to know who authored these lines. This copy that was found in the billfold of the missionary was just a copy that someone else had written. But whoever it was captured the essence of the greatest essay on love ever written, which of course is in 1 Corinthians 13. "If I have the language ever so perfectly and speak like a pundit and have not the love that grips the heart, I am nothing. If I have decorations and diplomas and am proficient in up-to-date methods and have not the touch of understanding love, I am nothing. If I am able to worst my opponents in argument so as to make fools of them and have not the wooing note, I am nothing. If I have all faith and great ideals and magnificent plans and wonderful visions and have not the love that sweats and bleeds and weeps and prays and pleads, I am nothing. If I surrender all prospects and leaving home and friends and comforts, give myself to the showy sacrifice of a missionary career and turn sour and selfish amid the daily annoyances and personal slights of a missionary life, and though I give my body to be consumed in the heat and sweat and mildew of India, and have not the love that yields its rights, its coveted leisure, its pet plans, I am nothing, nothing. Virtue has ceased to go out of me. If I can heal all manner of sickness and disease, but wound hearts and hurt feelings for want of love that is kind, I am nothing. If I write books and publish articles that set the world agape and fail to transcribe the word of the cross in the language of love, I am nothing. Worse, I may be competent, busy, fussy, punctilious, and well-equipped, but like the church at Laodicea, nauseating to Christ. Can you imagine how these words hit me between the eyes? I get letters from people commending me on various things about the broadcast, and I read, if I have the language ever so perfectly and speak like a pundit and have not the love that grips the heart, I am nothing. If I have decorations and diplomas and am proficient in up-to-date methods and have not the touch of understanding love, I am nothing. Well, I won't read the whole thing again, but every line hits me, convicts me. So the answer to the question, how do I die to myself? What is this crucified life about? Comes down to that four-letter word, love. How much am I willing to be inconvenienced for the sake of Christ? The measure in which I am willing to be inconvenienced will be the measure of my love. Some of us may feel that we would be willing to go any lengths for the sake of Christ. And then Christ brings us up short by reminding us, that man, that woman, in the church, in business, in your neighborhood, that person who has cheated you, how do you treat them? Is it in love? Whatever you do to him, Christ says, you do to me. And whatever you refuse to do for him, you refuse to do for me. Do you love me? Well, suppose we look at 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul goes on to describe what love is. Love is patient. What is it that makes you most impatient? Is it that irritating little habit that somebody in your family has? The failure to pick clothes up off the floor or hang towels straight or clean the sink after using it? Love is patient. You have to die to your irritations. Now, that doesn't mean, you mothers and fathers, that you're not supposed to correct your children. I hear parents sometimes talking about patience as though it means that we're supposed to be willing to put up with anything that our children do. No. But patience with our peers, particularly. Patience in waiting for something that's not coming. That's death to self. Giving up my right to be impatient. Love is kind and envies no one. Are you envious of someone? You must die to yourself. Give up that envy and be kind. Love is never boastful, nor conceited, nor rude. And that last word, rude, brings up the question of manners. Are manners merely empty customs? Do they have any real significance for a Christian? Yes, I believe they have. Courtesy is giving up the right to yourself. Passing the butter first to someone else is a very tiny little act of courtesy, but it speaks volumes, doesn't it? Giving up the seat that you wanted at the end of the pew in church. love gives up its right to itself. Never boastful, never conceited, never rude, never selfish. Not quick to take offense. Somebody steps on your toes, figuratively or literally. What's your reaction? Somebody cuts in front of you in a line. What's your reaction? Your neighbor encroaches on your property, chops down a tree, perhaps, moves the property line. What's the reaction? Love is never selfish. Love keeps no score of wrongs. There's another one. Hits me between the eyes. I can be very critical of my husband. He does little things that irritate me. I want to keep a long list. Sometimes I bite my tongue and keep my mouth shut, but I remember that little thing, and maybe 3 or 4 days from now when he does something really big, then I've been keeping score of wrongs. Love doesn't do that. Death to myself is to let go of the score. Love does not gloat over other men's sins, but delights in the truth. There is nothing love cannot face, no limit to its faith, its hope, and its endurance. That's what death to the self means. Loving God, loving others, not loving ourselves.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.